This podcast is sponsored by Ramp. Are you the decision maker in your company? Consider this. For the first time in decades, there's a better option for a corporate card and spend management platform. Meet Ramp, the only corporate card and spend management system designed to help you spend less money so you can make more. Most corporate credit cards offer points as incentives, but those points amount to less than their worth in real cash value. Ramp's business cards offer you cash back, real money in your pocket. Plus, you control who spends what with each vendor. And Ramp software collects and verifies receipts automatically, which means you'll stop wasteful spending and close your books in hours instead of days. Businesses that use Ramp add up to 5% to their bottom line the first year. If you're a decision maker, adding Ramp could be one of the best decisions you've ever made. And now get $250 when you join Ramp for free. Just go to ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy.
Cards issued by Sutton Bank and Celtic Bank, members FDIC. Terms and conditions apply.
The One Tough Mother Podcast. The One Tough Mother Show is real talk with special guests, including industry leaders, celebrities, and amazing women who've overcome adversities to work their way to the top and are willing to share their real life lessons. Remember, you don't have to be a mother to be one tough mother. It's all about you.
Welcome. You're here at the One Tough Mother Show, and I hope everybody's Thanksgiving was great. Everybody stuffed themselves beyond. Gail E. Pooh cooked.
I did.
And?
And, okay. First of all, I think this is, I'm going to sit out next year's Thanksgiving. Look at me. Look at me. This is, I'm exhausted. I carried all the way through. Because, no, let me tell you, because usually my crew that'll, like, handle stuff, they're all like, I got a ticket to Miami. I'm going to Portugal. So it was just me running around. And, you know, it just.
Well, so but it turned out great, right? But
let me tell you, I made the best turkey I've ever made.
Yay.
Ever. I figured, thank you. 17 and a half pounds of, and it came out great. I hope I remember how to do it the next time I do it, I don't know when that'll be, but yeah.
No, it's a tough one when you're on your own doing
And I
it.
Did do the oyster stuffing.
Oh, see, I didn't, see. And I got crap about it.
You
Mom's
did?
Like, oh man, I didn't get oyster stuffing.
I got it.
I didn't. I feel bad. Lise?
Oh, Thanksgiving. Well, I went to my friend June's because, you know, my parents are in Delray, and I have a signature dish, which is stuffed mushrooms.
Oh, right.
The best, by the way, if I do say so myself. However, what June did not tell me was until I got there Wednesday night, I got to work today. You got to make the turkey. You got to make the ham.
Oh!
And you got to help with the stuffing. I've never stuffed a damn bird in my life. She's like, pulling the skin, putting in the... You got to take it out like this, and then you got to tuck the legs in underneath this piece of skin. I'm like, are you for real? I said, let me just go now to CVS, get the Tums, and that's going to be the dinner mints. But I'm happy to say it all worked out fine.
Oh,
my God.
It's a lot.
Pressure.
I had 16 big, full bellies to fill. So, yeah, they all came. And you know what's funny? They come with their Tupperware. Seriously.
That's back in the day. That's okay. They're your family.
Yeah. Back in the day, I put so much money into Tupperware because I have a 30-pound turkey. I have a couple of hams. I have a lot
that's
of food.
A smart thing.
My boys want to take food home.
They do.
And they come packing. I mean, my son's like, Mom, that blue Tupperware is mine. I'm like, okay. I'm tired of putting money out for the Tupperware.
No, because I get it now. Okay.
Yeah. No, it never comes back.
Never.
Yeah,
right, I never see it again. Never see it again.
Right.
So they came, they ate, they left. It was that easy.
Did you have leftovers, though?
Actually, this year, I did a bad last year. I gave everything away. Mom was really upset. Mail manager mom was like, we had no stuffing. We have no turkey sandwiches. Because I usually just say to the boys, okay, I leave the food out because we do buffet style. I say, okay, fill up your Tupperwares and go. Well, last year it was gone and she had nothing the next day. So she said to me, I want to have stuff the next day. So the girls, my daughter-in-law's, my daughter, fabulously, they filled a big plate for mom and they put it in the fridge for her. So she had tons of leftovers. It was good.
That's good.
Everything was good. I made bazillion potatoes, mashed potatoes. I don't know why I do that. I do a little over a 5-pound bag and
yummy.
I don't know why I do, because they eat so much of the other stuff.
It's size. They fill up on size.
Yeah.
I got a question for the ladies and the gentlemen in the room. How do you feel when you have guests that come and they bring a little dish, right? And then they take it back.
I don't like that. When you make something, you bring it there.
Is that an American thing?
No.
What is that?
That's a rude thing. That's a rude thing.
I got three pieces of macaroni. Leave the macaroni.
No.
Exactly.
You had to pack it up and go.
You said macaroni.
No. Uh-uh.
I love it. You didn't say pasta. You said macaroni.
Macaroni and
cheese.
Honorary
Italian.
Mac and cheese. That's why.
Okay. And they took it?
I just feel like if you're going to come to people's house and they're feeding you, that you just leave the
food there.
You can take a leftover thing, but you don't take your own dish back.
Right. No,
That's
no. Seth, what did you guys do?
We hosted as well. Small gathering. And turkey came out pretty good.
Good.
It's
You brined it in cider, right?
We did. We brined it in cider. Mm-hmm. Good memory. Threw a bunch of garlic in there.
Well, I used to do that back in the day.
Onions.
Right.
We just threw a whole bunch of stuff and herbs and stuff. I rubbed underneath the skin.
Yep.
And
yep. You push your hand under the skin. Yep.
I'm not big in the turkey, I got to tell you.
Oh, really?
It's all right.
Yeah.
I love the turkey.
Yeah.
I love them.
I wanted lasagna.
We made stuffed shells, stuffed with meat. Yeah.
Oh, that was good.
Ground beef, And Brussels sprouts and bacon mashed potatoes and stuffing.
Yep.
Yeah.
Bacon mashed potatoes.
I do
bacon
cheese
bits and stuff inside.
I do cheese mashed potatoes.
Really easy. I'll show you.
Well, everybody, we had a great Thanksgiving, and everybody was full. And I hate to say it, but you know, and when everything's back in order, everything's cleaned, all the dishes are put away, and my girls are great. They do all the cleaning up. Everything's fabulous, put away. It's kind of like, I love doing it, but it's also a relief. So today's guest, we have a woman that we have great respect for, and when you talk about reinventing yourself and starting over, Leslie Jane Seymour is definitely one woman that is a very tough mother. Leslie, as you might know, was the respected and still is the respected award-winning editorial leader of the world. As the former editor-in-chief of More, Marie Claire Red Book, YM Magazine, to say just a few, Leslie made media history when brilliantly inviting Michelle Obama to be the guest to edit an entire issue of More Magazine. That led to 8.5 billion media impressions worldwide. It's with great pleasure and respect, and we just think she's badass and everything that can be, that we welcome to this One Tough Mother Show, media entrepreneur mogul Leslie Jane Seymour.
Welcome,
Leslie, and thank you so much for being a guest on the One Tough Mother Show. Let's get a brief history.
I'm so excited.
I know a year ago we hooked up, right?
A year ago. It's like the longest date you've ever had, right? But I'll make it worthwhile.
Probably the best date I've ever had, honestly.
There you go.
In recent years.
Worth waiting for.
Thank you. I don't want to go too much to your past. You know why? Because your past is well documented. Anybody that knows you knows of your huge accomplishments. But I want to speak to you about, you know, walking away from corporate, walking away from what we knew for a bazillion years. You did it. I did it. Lisa did it. Gail's done it. We walked away and we walked into something scary, which was the world of entrepreneurship. So my first question is, well, of course, I read that while at school at Duke, you concentrated on being a writer. Can you give me a little bit of your backstory so I have some kind of basis for that? You met someone who pushed you.
Yes. Well, I've always been a writer. I was, 7 years old. I was writing books about my parakeet, Chat-Chat. So that was my goal in life, was to be a writer. And when I got to Duke, I actually went to Duke to go to Beaufort, which was to be a marine biologist, which is totally hilarious. I took my science courses and I was like, kind of a student in science. And my writing would take off every time. And it so happened that Nina Hyde, who was the fashion editor from the Washington Post, was there for a internship, a fellowship for a semester. And I hooked up with her. And she introduced me to somebody at Women's Wear Daily. And the weird thing about me, this is a strange, just, and it's still strange because I was going through an old scrapbook with my daughter and it was happening again. I can't tell you a lot about my life, but I can remember everything by the clothes I wore.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm not a designer. It's this bizarre memory thing. Like, you know how some people can, you can smell something and it brings back all your memories.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
To me, I look at the clothes I wore and I knew exactly how I felt, what was happening. I know the dress, I could design it for you. It is the weirdest, strangest thing. Anyway, so that's how I always knew I wanted to be something in fashion and something in writing, just because I have that weird memory. I can tell you what I wore in third grade to, you know, first day of third grade school, just because I don't know why, but whatever.
That's great.
So it's strange. And so when I was able to put those two things together by going to Women's Wear Daily, that's what sort of made it for me. And the hilarious part is I actually started stringing for Women's Wear as a writer while I was still at Duke. And I didn't realize I was actually doing something that was not very newsy. News is supposed to be something happens, you go out and cover it and
right,
write about it.
Right.
I did not know that when I was doing a story, the very first story I pitched to Women's Wear was called Formal is No Longer Floor Length in the South.
Oh.
And it did come out of the fact that I had a couple of friends who were wearing tunics and pants to all the formals. There were a lot of formals for the sororities and the fraternities in those days. But what I didn't realize was that telling my other girlfriends they couldn't wear a formal dress and they had to wear a tunic now because I was photographing tunics, that's magazine making. You're making a trend. You're not actually, it's kind of partial news, but not really news. Anyway, so that's kind of how I got launched in all of that. And I was just so thrilled to be able to become a writer. And I had very low aspirations. I just thought I wanted to be a writer all my life, and that's all I really wanted to do and all I aspired to do. And the really sad part about it is that back in the day when I was going out in the market, if you had talent as a writer, you could make a living. I really thought, you know, I was going to be Peggy on Mad Men.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, you didn't have to ever get married, or you could support yourself. And the horrible thing is now is that, you know, if you're a writer, no one wants to pay you. They want you to write for free.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's just a terrible situation.
And you hit it. I mean, you hit it. You went upward. You went onward. I mean, you were like well documented as a writer, editor of landmark publications like More, Marie Claire, Red Book, which I had a subscription to, YM magazines.
Yeah, I had to turn Red Book around. Red Book had gotten to be an old granny book, but it was actually meant to be for young moms.
Yeah, I loved
so
it.
Great when you did that.
I loved it because I was huge, huge fan of Red Book. But I know the other part. I know your career because I've read about it. But mm-hmm. What about the tremendous discipline, the focus, the concentration it took in your personal life? Because honestly, you got to think about it, Leslie. Like in those years that you were hot and heavy in the magazines and fashion and writing and editing, you're
awful.
A wife and a mother.
Awful.
How much
coffee? And I look back and I say, there's something wrong with the way that our system is set up, that especially for women, the peak of your career hits at the peak of being a mom.
Yes.
And I was determined, because I had had such a poor family life growing up, that the number one thing for me was being a great mom.
Right.
And at the same time, I wanted to be a fabulous career person. So like all the crazy people in my generation, we were terrible purveyors of the insane idea that we could do it all.
Right.
And I really look back. I have young people approach me. It's probably the first question most people ask me at an event. They go, how did you do it? Because they're all in the middle of it, and they're, you know, their kids vomiting on their outfit as they walk out the door, and they don't understand how we got through it. And I will tell you, it's a freaking blur.
It is a freaking blur.
I don't know.
Yep.
I can't tell you how I got through it. I don't know how I did it. I had blinders on. You want to know how nuts I was? I would get up. I live in the suburbs. I would get up at 5:30 in the morning. The night before, I would have set out all the makings of fresh muffins. This is how nuts I was.
Yeah.
And I would make fresh muffins, blueberry muffins, in the morning for my kids. And then I would get dressed and go to Marie Claire and be an editor-in-chief and get on an airplane and go to Paris.
Right. Right.
What was I thinking?
That stuff did come in a bag, by the way. I did it.
I couldn't do that. No, I had to do it from scratch, because that was I wasn't a real mother unless I did it from scratch.
Like, and how many times did you take the trip to work and cry because you either disciplined them before you left them? and you felt crappy about that, or they had something going on at school that you were going to miss.
So I would
be crying on my drive to work, some kind of weirdo.
How many of us in the fashion business in particular, because we all had to go to Europe at the same time, and it sounds like, oh my God, you're crying on the yacht, like you had to go to fashion week in Europe. All of us who are mothers, and I remember in particular a friend of mine who just had twins, we would get on the plane and cry.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was like, look at this. We're at the top of our game. Somebody's flying us to Europe to look at clothes in first class, and we're crying.
Right.
And we're crying because we're leaving our little kids alone, and we're going to be gone for 3 weeks. And we know we can't say no because we're so lucky to have this opportunity.
Right.
And it was just this huge disconnect that, you know, I'm hoping the generations behind us are actually, and I think they are, because they're rejecting a lot of that idea that you can do it all, realize that you can't have it all. You have to moderate. You're going to go back and forth at different points in your life, and sometimes you're going to give more to your business and sometimes more to your family, and this crazy out of your mind idea that you're going to do it all is terrible. And
it's really consuming.
A lot of tears shed. And, you know, a lot of kids who had, parents who were cockamamie and crazy at times.
Oh, absolutely. And I remember, in particular, I had to fly to L.A. I was in L.A. for 2 weeks shooting a commercial. So I was out there shooting, and my oldest two played on the same team. They had a big football game coming up. So I go to the airport, and the woman's like, there was fires out in L.A., and they're like, because of the smoke, the flights are being delayed. I almost had a breakdown. I'm like, you got to be kidding. I've got to be home for this game.
Yeah.
And then
I drove all the way down
to the beach to get the air. It's crazy. I'm like, no, you don't understand. My kids have to look up from the stands and see me there and know that I'm supporting them. I have to get on this plane. I've been gone for 2 weeks. It was a nightmare. I had a
thing like that where I had to be back for a birthday party and we missed the boarding time coming from LA back to New York on a red eye. And I remember really literally crying and saying, you have to let us on the plane. I have to be there.
Yeah.
And
they
squeezed us on somehow. But it was, you know, just like, why do we make ourselves crazy? Do I know of any guy who had to go through that?
Right. And back in the day, red eye was our favorite. That red eye was my best friend because I always made sure I came home on the red eye. And in the day, we could jump. We jumped flights. You might have had a flight at one time, but at those days, you walked up to the desk and went, you know, I'm here early. Can I take an earlier flight? And they used to let you jump flights. Right. Now none of that stuff happens. Nothing.
This was the Pleistocene era before when they had airplanes, but they didn't have security.
Right. When they had airplanes with smoking. Remember that?
Right. Oh, my God.
Remember that?
Yeah. You sat in front of the people in the smoking section and your hair reeked for days.
It was disgusting. But yes, we were mad. It was madness. We have to write the book about that.
Oh, definitely.
But we got on the airplane crying.
Yes, we did.
That's what happened. And we got through it. You know, the interesting thing is you get through it all. And I think what I learned the most for people listening who are trying to figure it out themselves, it's about how you feel inside yourself.
Absolutely.
If you feel guilty, if you feel miserable, if you feel unhappy, if you feel torn, that's what your kids pick up on. I found that when I finally made peace with the fact that I really wanted to be a career person, and I also love my family, and my kids were everything to me, and I always chose them first over anything, but I was going to try to make this work. Once I was really firm on that, they didn't have any buttons to push.
Right.
But they could find every little opening when I was feeling guilty or whatever, and they would guilt me for everything.
Yes, absolutely. You know? Absolutely. So you and I and a lot of people in our industry were in the media, marketing, advertising world and digital hits. And all of a sudden you've got young guys coming in with man purses speaking language we don't understand and acronyms and everything that we're just sitting there going, what the hell?
And a lot of it was BS. You know that. I mean, I had these guys come in and tell me that, you know, that I wasn't going to understand the web at all, that it was totally different, that everything I knew about magazine making didn't apply to the web, and that all these other people knew how to do it and we didn't. They were really trying to drive a wedge between people who had done print and people right. who had done the web. And when you get out there, what you realize is, and somebody who's very smart coming from a different angle, who said, that's BS. It's all the same.
Yeah, it's everything's
the
same.
That's what it is. It's all the
same. And I came from TV, and they're like, you know, nobody's watching TV anymore. They're watching the internet.
Disagree.
And I was like, stop, get away from
me.
Yeah,
disagree.
Yeah, so we leave, we walk out, we downsize.
Oh, God, absolutely.
What did you do? Did you sit in your car and go, what the hell?
Well, I knew this was coming. I mean, it is not hard. You have to be, you know, you have to have pretty big blinders on for the last 5 years to know that some big transition is coming. And in fact, just hearing 2 days ago that Meredith was buying Time Inc. and they were, you know, they just put out a story
right.
today saying they're going to fire thousands and thousands of people. You know, the makings of all of that was out there a long time ago. And it became very, very clear with the internet that the advertisers don't have to kiss Anna Wintour's butt anymore to get their piece out there to the consumer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So once that doorway broke down, that's the breakdown. And that's why magazines went away. They were the doorway that all these advertisers had to go through to reach the audience they needed.
Right.
So
right.
that's been breaking down for the last 10 years.
Yeah.
So it was not a surprise to me at all when Moore was not going to get there and that we would be one of the early victims. They closed the magazine in March of 16. It was not a surprise.
No.
And, you know, and I had five bosses and four publishers in 8 years. I mean, you don't have to be a genius to know that that's not a way to do business either. You know,
right.
you can't be changing all those people in the deck chairs all the time. It just became a very rocky business. It was so clear that it was not steady anymore, and you'd walk, you know, across everywhere. I mean, I was teaching a magazine course at NYU as an adjunct professor, and one day I had to walk in, and this is while I'm still an editor at a magazine, and I had to walk in and explain why Time Inc. had just fired 400 people across the street. You know,
right,
it's like,
yeah. right.
It was obvious this was going down. It
right.
just was a matter of when. And so for me, I feel actually really, really lucky that I had an 8-year run at Moore. It was fabulous. It was amazing. I built up the most incredible audience, the most amazing, intelligent, smart, interactive women who came and found me literally right. after the magazine folded, who were, you know, just horrified. They didn't know any of the economic dynamics, of course. And there just weren't enough advertisers.
Right.
And that was just the flat out answer. And, you know, no matter how many readers there just were not enough advertisers, and the old model was based on advertising.
Absolutely. And, you know, you went out badass, though. I mean, you really
yeah.
pulled a badass move. You had Michelle Obama guest
that was
edit.
Great.
Yeah, 8.5 billion.
Billion impressions.
Billion with a B, media impressions.
Yeah.
That when I read that, I was like, wow,
yeah.
you took it by the, you're like, you know what, I'm out, but guess
yep.
what, before I go, this is what I'm doing.
No, well, you know, and I was very lucky because we made history with that. That was the first time that a sitting first lady had ever guest edited a magazine before. We didn't go into it with that idea, but we backed into it
right.
when my PR guy said, you know, has anybody ever done this before?
Right.
And it was the biggest thing that ever happened to the company, certainly the biggest thing that ever happened to me, the biggest thing that ever happened to the brand. And, you know, I can't feel badly about any of it. It was just sad that that couldn't propel us into getting more advertisers. You know, I think if you'd hung with it for a much longer time, it might have. But
right.
in this environment, I mean, as you see what's happening across the board, I don't think anything you could do to try to save print would save it.
No.
It's just a very expensive, it's a really, really, really expensive product in today's market.
Right.
So.
And I did years of Cosmo ads, and every
yeah.
year after year, and, you know,
yeah.
negotiating the contract, getting the ad
yeah.
space. I did full pages. I did back pages. You
yeah.
name it. It just got more and more and more because they're paying more and more and
yeah.
more. And they're losing,
yeah.
losing.
Losing money. And, you know, and the really horrible, unfortunate part about it is that because all of that product was built on the back of selling ads,
Yes.
The consumer was taught for the last 100 years that content is free.
Right.
And that we shouldn't pay anything for content. Mm-hmm. So when people try to come out with different models for content, the consumer is very resistant because she says, yeah, I get it for free. Why should I pay?
Right.
So unfortunately, the business did damage to itself by teaching the consumer that this big magazine of 300 pages that you were going to spend probably a whole afternoon with was worth $2.
Right, right.
And so now she comes out and she says, well, I don't want to pay for anything because I never had to, even though this is all crumbling and falling away.
Right.
So the question is, what's next? And what's really interesting is the consumer's still out there. Women still need this information. They still need the direction, especially with the web. How the hell did you find the right mascara?
You're right.
How do you find? We just saw this morning.
Find, I mean, really honestly, how do you find the right face cream for you, the right night cream? Should you have HRT or not? Where do you, just try Googling some of that stuff.
Right.
You'll be, for one question, you will be there for a week. You
Absolutely.
Could do a dissertation on every, there's so, it's a fire hose of information.
And, you know, it's actually, now that social media and the media, it's getting called out. You know, like Facebook's never, ever gave, it was all, you know, obscure information. They never told how many actual, you know, viewers or listeners or how, where your ads would be. Now people are like, you know, and I'm lucky and privileged enough to be part of a marketing group online that it's some very, very old time, very, very smart marketers from top industries. And they're going, wait a minute. Our clients aren't making money because their ads aren't being seen. Now everybody's like, what was that about? What's going on?
Oh, yeah. They throttled that whole... You'd go out and Big create time. These giant audiences and they would show it to 2% of it or 1.01% of it. And so things are changing. And I think women especially are realizing they're not getting the information they need. They are not getting it easily. It's hard to ferret out. Some of the information that's coming at them is not the information they want. So how do they find it?
Right.
And there still are the purveyors of great content, beautiful content, smart content, intelligent content. I'm not saying everybody. There's been a stooping to lowest common denominator out there for a long time in order
Absolutely.
To get clicks.
Right.
And there's been stooping to get advertisers
Absolutely.
And there's been lying to the consumer to get advertisers. And so there's a lot of damage that's been done. But I'm hoping that for me, I decided because my readers came to me and said they wanted me to do something else for them. There's nothing for women 40 plus in the market for the high end reader or listener or member. And there's a lot of stuff that is confusing. There's not a lot of stuff that's trustworthy. And there's just it's a lot of time consuming.
Absolutely.
Where do you go if you want to find, you know, what's the next night cream to use? And I don't know.
Right.
So Covey Club is that stop. I want to kind of be, the only way I can say it without being, I don't want it to sound hubristic, but so you understand what it is. Imagine Google for women 40 plus.
Right.
You need something, you're 40 plus.
I like that.
Come to me and I'll direct you. I'll find, because some of the stuff I'm going to create myself, I started out by creating a lot of my own content.
Excellent.
That got very expensive because I was paying people because on principle, I feel like all the purveyors need to be paid, but it got to be too expensive. And then when I went out and did a beta test with just the content, the readers didn't want to pay. So that was a problem.
Right. Right.
So what I'm doing now is turning it more into the club. It was always supposed to be a club. Covey is a small group of birds.
Right.
And the idea is birds of a feather flock together. We're small. We are intimate. How do I connect women? My hashtag is learn, get, connect. The idea is you will always come to Covey Club and you will learn something. You will get something in terms of something you can take away, either information or pointers or tips or tricks. And then connect. I will connect you with other women like you who can either answer your questions, become your friends, become your business partner, or inspire you.
I love it because it's so needed. Because, and you know what happens is women, and I get this a lot, they don't know where to go because, you know, everybody was screaming and everybody's spoon fed. How many likes do you have on your site? And how many this and how many that?
Right.
People didn't get that it was all bought and paid for and bots.
All bought and paid for.
They did not understand.
All this stuff is clicked on, and you can pay. You know, you can pay ClickFarms in
Asia. Exactly.
That's right.
You know,
robots will push the button, and it doesn't mean anything. So I'm making it. The club is there's a freemium part to it. You can come in and see what we're doing for free. You can read. There'll be one download of the Digizine, which is a monthly magazine. There will be, you'll be able to see what is our sort of little monthly webinar, which I might ramp up to weekly, which are going to be kind of like live panels that you can dial into. You can either dial into on your computer or on your phone. And we're going to be talking about all those important topics live with experts, and you can ask questions live.
That's awesome. That's really
everything
great.
Everything from fashion and beauty to finances to health, all that kind of stuff. And I've already got, it's so interesting. These are just things because I'm kind of going to run my own kind of like little TV show online.
Good.
Because
excellent.
This is the stuff people want to hear. They want to hear two experts talking about, well, what kind of anti-aging makeup tricks are there out there?
Right.
And what do you really do? And, or it could be talking about your, you know, how to protect yourself financially from widowhood or divorce.
Yeah. So, yeah. And you know what? The funny part is it's, you know, the One Tough Mother Show, it's about real life experiences. We try to inspire, elevate and empower women, and people are, the meat of the market is the 40 plus woman. I mean, the meat of the market. And I don't understand like where the thought process is with advertisers. They're like, well, oh, you know, I don't know. You know, how many women do you have? What does it matter? Grow with something. What happened to the years of growing and understanding? The meat of the market is women. We're coming. It's Leslie. We're coming of age.
We're
coming.
We're here.
And it's going to be so powerful that people either jump on. And the Covey Club is perfect because you're hitting the meat of the market.
Advertisers just don't understand this consumer, and then the ones that do, the age prejudice that is still very, very strong in the U.S. takes over.
Right there.
And I will be really honest with you, a very famous designer said to me when I took over More Magazine, and he's somebody I loved, and he said, this is right in 2008 when the recession hit. He said, you know, Leslie, he said, the only people keeping my stores alive are women 40 plus, but I can't advertise to them because then the 20-somethings won't come in the door. And first of all, that was a fundamental misunderstanding of the relationship between 20-somethings and 40-somethings today. If you're a mom, your clothes spend half the time in the other room
hunting down your boots,
at college or in high school. Oh, it is such a different world. They don't even get it. And second of all, 20-somethings and 40-somethings and 50-somethings and 60-somethings, we're all intergenerational.
That's right.
Now. We're all mixing it up. There is none of this BS. And they just don't get it. And you know what? You can't beat them into understanding. I can't tell you. I had these cosmetic executives say to me, to my face, they'd say, oh, you know, there were a lot of French guys. They'd be like, oh, and, you know, older women, they don't buy anything anymore.
Okay.
They already have their brands. And I'd be like,
yeah, dude,
could you come to my house? You want to see my new Audi?
Yeah.
You want to see my new Prius? Do you want to see, I just renovated my house. Would you like to see all the new cosmetics piled up on my sink that I try? Would you like to see all the new clothes in my closet?
Right.
What are you talking about?
Exactly.
Where did you
they
get
just, They don't get it. They're the ones with the old mindset. This is the last question because I know that you're on a time crunch, so I don't want to keep you along. So my last question has to be, in a world of women and you know, connectivity, instant exposure, instant gratification, what advice do you give to women that are looking to further themselves but don't know where to go? Moms coming out of, you know, jobs that they want to transition, women coming out of college. What do you say to these girls?
Who want what? Explain to me.
Want more. Want to find more in life.
Oh, more in life. Well, that, I mean, that is the key to the whole thing, is finding your thing and finding who you are. One of the things that the tagline for Covey Club is that it's for women who are trying to lead their most authentic lives, and they do it
Excellent.
Through learning. They're lifelong Right. learners, and that is, I will tell you, the key to the whole thing, and I'm sure that you understand that, is that if you aren't learning, move on. And whether that
Right.
is in your first job, your second job, I always used to move on from my next job based on, God, I've stopped learning here, it's time to move on. And
Right. Right.
that is one of the most valuable things that you can have for yourself. And it will continue to guide you toward things that are meaningful to you. And if you are looking for meaning, in one of the rubrics in the Digizine that we're publishing monthly and on the site is called The Meaningful Life. And okay. I'm writing about different things that can add meaning to your life. And it can be something you can do. It can be a new product that gives back. It can be ways to educate yourself or further your community experience. You just have to get in there with the kind of people who are doing that. I had that problem very severely when I worked at Vogue magazine. It was my third job. I loved it. I was there for 9 years. I was a copywriter. I was the height of my game. I mean, what you went into Vogue every day, you may as well just die, right?
Right?
That's the end of
right,
it.
Right, right.
And I always felt so vacant. And I remember
right.
thinking, God, why these people around me seem so satisfied, and I'm so unsatisfied. I'm so grateful to be here. I'm grateful that I can, you know, get a haircut. I can get a table anywhere I want to. But something's missing. And
right.
I had to leave there and follow my heart to a different type of product. I went to freelance first when I had my son. That answered a lot of questions about, is this all there is? But when I went back into work looking for more meaning, I went to Glamour, which was, you know, for many people, they wouldn't go from Vogue to Glamour. It was like a big step
right,
down.
Right.
Why would you do that? But I felt more at home there. And then when I got to Mary Claire as editor-in-chief, when I was able to actually express my interest in women's issues and actually do amazing stories on the issues for women around the world that were happening, serious political issues, issues with the Taliban, issues with, I mean, mm-hmm. all kinds of stuff, that's
right.
when I found myself. But I had to acknowledge very early on, I love where I am. This is glamorous. It's extraordinary. I'm so lucky. But something's not a right fit for me. I have
totally.
To keep going.
Totally.
And there are people who are, you know, look, who I worked with at Vogue who are still there.
Oh, absolutely. And a lot of people, a lot of women will say to me, "Why I'm in a ditch. I feel like I'm in a hole." And I'm like, you dug it.
Right.
Understand that. You dug it and put yourself there. Your life is a result of your decisions. And I hate when people like, oh, I don't have this or I don't have that or I feel like I haven't gotten anywhere in life. Your life is a result of your decisions. As hard as that is to hear and is facing that, it's what it is. You dug the hole and put yourself there.
Yeah.
If you don't like where you are, if you don't like what you're doing, if you don't like your husband, you don't like what's going on around you, your job, get out. Nobody's keeping you. You're not a prisoner.
That's really hard. People take
hard.
A victim approach to a lot of that where they feel victimized. They feel...
Right.
So it's very hard to turn that point of view around into you're not a victim. You have to take control of your life.
Right.
But the one thing I can tell you that is very helpful to a lot of people who feel that way and feel very isolated is take a course.
Right.
Start that way. You
Help
don't like
somebody.
What you're doing.
Get out. Right.
Get out. And the easiest thing for some people to do is just sign up for the frickin' jewelry course. You always wanted
right.
to make jewelry. Try it. Go to the local high school. There's a silver course. Sign up there. I know people who ended up in careers because of that.
Right.
There are ways out for you all around you. Obviously, if you have a serious psychological barrier, you're not going to see them. But I can tell you, the really simple thing that everybody is really, really familiar with, which is school.
Right.
Right. No matter how old you are, and I'm talking to you as somebody who is in the middle of finishing her master's up at Columbia for sustainability management, putting a gun to my head because I'm doing this while launching a business. but it really does, that is a number one way to get you out of a rut.
Right.
And I don't care if it's a little teeny course or a serious course, you're going to go back for your master's in social work or whatever, start. If you can't think of where to start, go take a course. And it can be a light course, a heavy course. It's a real easy way out of your situation. And for a lot of people who feel very trapped, and it could be, if you're feeling trapped in your relationship, it could be a course about relationships.
Exactly. There's always a way out.
A way out.
Your life is, again, the result of your decisions. So make the decision to change it and not complain about it. It's easier said than done, but I've done it. You've done it. We've done it in this room. You have to make that decision and you have to move forward and you can't expect everybody to dig you out. And
no.
I'm tired of hearing about your past and my family and I was a child that nobody loved. Get over it and go on. Drug it along for how many years? Let it go.
The date of expiration, I'm blaming your parents. I think now that I have a 26-year-old kid, it's like, I think he's pulling. I think 30 is it. You can't believe
good. My kids are
anymore.
Good. After that, all my kids are over 30 now, so I'm done. They can't blame me anymore.
No, it's like it's in your hands now. I'll take the blame up until 26, and then it's on you. So,
good. I'm feeling great about that.
Women do have to be proactive and take care of themselves. And I really hope that some of your listeners will come and join CoveyClub.com.
Please,
and
absolutely.
Hopefully, I'm also finding some women in their late 30s who are interested in the club because they want to get to older women. I'm going to probably end up doing some of my webinars on mentoring because I have a lot of younger women coming to me saying, I want to be part of what you're doing because I've put in all the work. There are a lot of them in their like mid-30s and they're like, I'm killing myself. I'm killing myself with my family. I'm killing myself with my work. And now what? And I have no one to talk to. And there's nobody above me mentoring me. There's no one where to go. My mother wasn't necessarily a career person. They don't understand what to do. Who do I talk to? And I was like flabbergasted. So I think I may end up doing some mentoring webinars, these live webinars as well, bringing mentors together with women who want to be mentored. Because I feel so badly that these 30-somethings are really at sea. And what they tell me is that they feel so different from the 20-somethings. They don't relate.
Right.
They don't relate to the millennials and the millennial thought process at all.
Right.
And they're kind of between us and a different generation, and they are struggling.
I had this conversation actually with my kids because I noticed it when I started One Tough Mother 6 years ago when I was getting letters. I had an advice column first. The letters were the most basic questions that girls and women would ask. And I couldn't understand that. And I was thinking, oh, wait a minute. Mothers went to work full time, 60s, 70s, and 80s, and nobody talked to these kids. They came home tired. They made dinner. They put them in bed. So these girls didn't have basic, common sense answers to things.
Right.
So you're right. The 30-year-olds are really they're not us, and they're not the millennials. So it's a weird. They're in a weird space. So I'm sure they appreciate it. Spell it for me so we know so everybody gets it.
Yes. So it's COVEY. Club, CLUB.com. Just
wonderful.
Covey's small group of birds and birds of a feather flock together, and I hope you'll join us. And right now we just have a sign up sheet, so you're not going to get a password or anything. You just sign up, and we're going to launch in February.
That's fabulous. You'll have to come back on and tell us how it goes.
All right.
Before you hang up, I want to give you Tough Mother Gail and Tough Mother Lisa a quick moment to say something to you because I know you're crushed. Gail.
I just want to say More Magazine got me through so many moments.
Seriously,
I was, and a slew of us, devastated when all of a sudden I wasn't getting in. And then they tried to hawk me some other magazine. I was like, no, you don't get it.
I know.
Really.
I know.
But one of the things I do want to say, and to piggyback on what you're doing in terms of sharing information amongst ourselves is the other thing is as we age, go through the aging process, I think even older than 45, 55, 65, I want to talk to some 75-year-old women to come back and tell me at my age, what am I going to look at expecting? Because a lot of us are starting this whole perimenopause thing that nobody wants to talk about, right? Because nobody wants to talk about it because it feels like it's contagious and it's terrifying and it's like it means that we're going out to pasture. I want the women that have gone through it to come back and talk to us as we can, so we can go back and talk to the ones behind us and say, aging makes us more badass. Right. And all those changes makes us more badass. Let's speak loud about it. Let's be proud about it. Let's not keep it as a place of shame. So thank you for making 40 fabulous.
And let's beyond. Just
50
and
badass.
Beyond 50 badass, 60 even more badass, 70 absolutely phenomenal.
We will bring all those voices in, and I hope you ladies will participate as well.
Absolutely.
And,
we're there.
And join us, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And what's fun is, you know, when I hear from my members, then I'm going to pivot and go wherever they want to go. So it's going to be a ride. I mean, I've never, ever done this before, and as we were talking about earlier, it is hard. Doing this by yourself, you know. It's like, where is the IT guy?
That's you, baby. Yeah. And we got Tough Mother Lisa. Yeah. What are you going to say, Lisa?
Well, you know, Gail, thanks for stealing all that, because I second every damn thing Gail said. Oh. I loved more. Oh. I loved more. But I have to tell you something. I want to sign up and be your 60-minute in-person with Leslie for $1,000. So when you get this thing off the ground, my friend, I want to be there, and I want my 60 minutes. Do I have to fly out to L.A.?
Oh. Because
I will.
Oh, cool.
I will.
Come. I'm in New York, so I'll come, but I may be doing some.
That's even better.
You're in New York. That's great.
Yeah.
I will be here because, everything. I can't even add. Everything Gail said, it is true.
Oh, that's so nice to hear. It was
a
wonderful
second, third,
ride.
And fourth, and fifth.
You know, I can't complain. I had just a wonderful time. And that same, the trick for me, guys, is going to be I can't replicate more because I don't have a staff of 34 people and a multi-million dollar budget. This is just me trying to figure out, and hopefully I'll go out for some funding down the road if this takes off. If enough readers, former More readers, sign up and go with us, then we can get there. But the reader, it will have to be reader funded because there are so few advertisers who believe in women like us, which is completely nuts. But you know what?
They'll catch up.
You can't squeeze it out of them, so that's okay. No. But we can do it for ourselves, and that's the thing.
We're 60 there. 60 is the
and
new
we,
40.
And we're going to support you 100%. Leslie Jane Seymour, thank you a million times over. You're one badass tough mother.
Oh, thank
your
you.
Parting gift
you.
Will get a, be a tough mother shirt. I just need your address.
Oh,
you can text
good.
It to me.
Okay.
You have my number, so just text me your address, and I'll be sending it out to you. And when you're ready, when everything launches and everything's rolling, come to the studio. Come to the studio. I'll bring wine. You bring the glasses. We're there.
I'll bring tequila.
We're
you like tequila,
that.
Leslie?
It's going to be the month of February. That's going to be the critical moment.
All right.
So I'm putting you on my list now.
Yes. Yep. Perfect. We got you. Thank you so much.
Thank
Have a
you
wonderful,
guys.
Wonderful holiday if I don't talk to you before then.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
And we'll be right back with Lisa's Headlines and Headaches.
The One Tough Mother Podcast. Real talk with amazing women who have worked their way to the top and want to share their real life lessons with you.
And we're back, and we got Lisa with Headlines and Headaches.
And we got a lot of headaches. We got a lot of headlines. But first, we have our sponsor, storyblocks.com/OTM. So, ladies, I'm making a little bit of progress on my website.
Ooh.
I have found some music. I am using that damn picture of champagne and shoes.
Go ahead, girl.
And I'm going to be calling both of you this week to help me put some final touches on it.
Okay.
But I got to just go right to what they're doing, okay? Everybody knows how expensive images are. They've got images, video, audio, all for the price of $149 for one full year.
No,
unlimited access. Unlimited access. Karen, you did something with this too?
I absolutely did. I picked up a couple of pictures to use on our website, the One Tough Mother website, and I have a couple other websites for different businesses I have. I love it. I used to do, back in the day, I did competitors, and you had to pay tons of money, like more than $149 for one image.
For anything. And you know licensing fees, Gail, from the record industry.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
It's crazy.
Yeah, no.
So everybody, I cannot say it enough. Over 400,000 images, 150,000 videos, 100,000 audio clips, plus more, and they download new content on a regular basis. I'm going to say this three times. The triple bundle, $149 for a full year of unlimited access. Storyblocks.com/OTM. Storyblocks.com/OTM. One more time in unison.
Storyblocks.com/OTM.
We love you, Storyblocks.
Ooh, we love
yes,
you.
We do.
Thank
okay,
you.
So now, okay, let's start off with some good news. There's a new wedding. Prince Harry and Meghan Markle, or the Sparkle Markle, how it's called now. They're engaged, and boy, has England and the throne come a long
way,
baby.
He's a cutie.
Yeah. So Prince Harry and Meghan Markle got engaged, and she's now referred to the Markle Sparkle. They will be exchanging vows in the spring at St. George's Chapel in Windsor Castle grounds. The chapel special to Harry. I don't know, not everybody knows that he was christened there, and that's also where his late mother, Princess Di, was laid out prior to her funeral at Westminster Abbey. So here's some really great points. They met on a blind date.
Yes.
Everybody wants to know the name of the girl who introduced them. And
they're not going to say it.
And all she said to her friend was, is he nice? That's Aww. All she did you said.
See? It wasn't Match.com? They didn't meet on Match?
No. It was a blind date.
Why
I watched
can't
the video.
That happen for us?
Tell me. Let me just get through the story, and then we can all complain how we don't have Prince Harry. Both fell hard and fast, and according to Prince Harry, he said, the stars were aligned. And the ring is gorgeous. It's one large center stone flanked by two smaller diamonds on either side that did belong to Princess Diana, so she's now part of it, which is really nice.
Huge.
Little bit of controversy, but it went away very fast, and I am very happy, because you know what? Enough is enough. Markle is a divorced Protestant, and the Church of England is Anglican. So Markle agreed to be baptized in the Church of England and then confirmed in the faith. The thing that really, really solidified their relationship, other than, you know, a lot of shared common passions, was their passion for philanthropy and helping others. That seemed to be the icing on the cake. Markle is a biracial woman who will be the first American divorcee to marry into the royal family in 81 years. Her mom is African-American. Her dad is Jewish. She has a very, very high-profile role on USA Network show Suits, which she's going to be leaving at the end of this season.
She's going to have a plateful.
Aww. She is going to have a plateful, but you know what? They're going to enjoy their life. They really, really are. They've already laid the foundation.
That they are such, because it's all humanitarian. They're really involved. They went to Botswana together and camped out.
Absolutely.
And so good for them. Congratulations.
Congrats. And I want to meet them because I love Rachel. That's her character on Suits. Anyway, okay. Matt Lauer, latest to be fired. Go to People for more on this. Savannah Guthrie and Hoda announced on air today that Matt Lauer was fired. This is from a statement, and I'm going to read the statement from Andrew Lack, chairman of NBC News. On Monday night, we received a detailed complaint from a colleague about inappropriate sexual behavior in the workplace by Matt Lauer. It represented, after serious review, a clear violation of the company's standards. As a result, we've decided to terminate his employment. While it is the first complaint about his behavior in over the 20 years he's been at NBC News, we also were presented with reason to believe that this may not be an isolated incident. And may I just say, there's got to be photos or something. You don't just
In our opinion.
Yeah,
there has to be something more.
This is a heavy-duty thing for this to happen that quick. So now, it's about time Monica Lewinsky stuck up for herself. She blasted CNN Headline News on Twitter because CNN announced it was revisiting the Monica Lewinsky scandal.
Why?
With a 2-hour special, the former White House intern and now anti-bullying campaigner decided to correct Headline News's announcement on Twitter. She crossed out the Monica Lewinsky scandal and offered a better and much more historically appropriate title, which I love. HLN to revisit the Starr investigation and the Clinton impeachment. With a 2-hour special. She then added in perfectly pointed note, I fixed it for you. You are
Good
welcome. Within hours, the post garnered over 5,000 likes. And the best one was from this woman that said, yep, when it's a woman, it's a scandal. And when it's a man, it's an investigation.
Yeah.
So, all right. Mm. All you pet lovers out there, no bone treats for your dogs. Now, there's A lot of people, you know, now I'm not talking milk bone. I'm talking literally bone treats are real bones that have been dried and flavored for dogs, and they are a fixture in every pet store you can imagine.
Absolutely.
Oh, my God, yeah. It's actually, it's a bone.
Yeah.
It's not milk bones. It's not it's a bone. Although they seem like good stocking stuffers, they pose serious health risks. In the FDA's reports, owners and vets said dogs that ate these bones experienced blockages in their digestive tract, choking, cuts, vomiting, diarrhea, and in extreme cases, death. Other tips to keep your pet safe during the holidays? No chicken or any other bones from the table. Keep your platters out of reach when cooking. Be careful what you put in your trash. Oh, Jesus, my dog attacked the trash, rips open the plastic. And finally, I don't think this applies to all dogs, but no chocolate, because most dogs can die from chocolate.
Yeah. And you know what the other thing is? Rawhides. I saw this special on rawhide.
Too.
Oh, that blew my mind. I didn't even know that was a job.
Yeah.
Making rawhide for dogs, it was the most disgusting thing I ever saw. Mm-hmm. And watching them do the job, I was like...
Well, I mean, you think of it. What would they be chewing on? And wouldn't they be...
Thanksgiving once in college, we hosted, and we had a dog, a mutt. And he's like, he looked like a lab. And it went, we were all outside playing football. I went inside. He was on two legs up there eating turkey.
Yeah, that's what they do.
And
that's
exactly what they do.
And
he crawled. He got on all. He flattened himself to the ground. So crawling.
Yeah. But they're fast.
I had a Yorkie. Roxy jumped on the chair. Roxy. Jumped on the table and just started eating.
That's it.
Mozzarella.
She didn't know she wasn't invited.
She wasn't invited. All right, now I know we're running a little late, so I do have you pick. What do you want, honey? Quickies now or five must trend?
No, let's do the quickies. Let's do the quickies.
The quickies. And I am gonna start. Okay. Does anybody know where this phrase came from? We're back, bitches.
Oh, no?
Okay. No. That's Snooki from Jersey Shore,
which is
coming back for revival season
on
MTV. That's what I wrote. I actually wrote that down. Why?
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 I worked with some of the people from Jersey Shore, and all I can say is this. Why?
We don't want that. It gives Jersey bad name. Anyway, Beyonce threw Jay-Z a 48th birthday bash in Brooklyn after his concert at the Barclays Center. And guess what? There was no cake, but there was a ton of Jay's Aces of Spades champagne. Victoria's Secret Fashion Runway Show aired in Shanghai, China this week and made history. Aside from being amazing, which I always thought it was great, and all the guests, Ming Si fell on walking down the runway.
Oh, I didn't see that. I do want to look at it. She went down hard.
She went down really hard, but I got to give it to her. She was down for like maybe 2 seconds.
She recovered gracefully,
and God bless model Gisele Oliveira. She continued on walking like nothing happened after helping her up.
Yes.
And you go, girl. You go, Ming. Okay, now, you know, we all know about Apple's phone with the face recognition. Google's new phone tech will alert you when someone's creeping over your shoulder. There's a clip on YouTube where a guy glancing at the Google Pixel phone gets identified with a giant rainbow after the screen switches from the text message window. How cool is that?
Yep.
When he looks away, the screen goes back to the text.
Yep.
And a new trend this year, turn your Christmas tree upside down. I actually know a lot of people that have done this. But
what do you mean?
You know, the one that hangs from the ceiling?
Well, you can hang it from the ceiling upside down, but Target has a bunch of trees now where they are actually making trees completely decorated with gifts. You can put it in a base upside down, so the point, which usually has an angel or star at the top, is now at the base, and the big bottom of the tree is... It's upside down.
But why?
It started back in Middle Ages, and it's a fad now. Everybody wants that.
I just say it sounds ridiculous.
An upside down tree?
If you go and...
Stop it.
You know what? I'm just reporting. I'm the messenger, but listen. Go to Refinery 29 and see something.
Everybody's got their thing.
And last but not least, I am a giant fan, and shame on the Mariners for benching Eli Manning.
I can say shame on you. Shame on you.
And by the way, he 210 games.
Wait.
Uninterrupted.
Let the
guy go out. They're two and whatever.
Shame on
you. Go ahead, Seth. I know you're ready to knock me out.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, they were horrible.
They were horrible to Phil Simms when he went out. They were horrible to Mark Bavaro.
Don't blame the owners. It's the coaches that are supposed to make these calls.
No. It was all of them.
Let me tell you.
All of them.
Bastards.
You put that bastards.
They did it.
I'm sorry. He may not be what he used to be, but he's still a good quarterback. It's not all his fault. Let him play out the season.
Let Gino play.
No, let him play out the season.
I agree.
Poor Gino.
I love you, Eli.
I love you, Gino.
That's just wrong.
Oh, God.
Seth, you are no longer a one tough brother. You're a wusser. One tough wusser.
So, I'll take you anytime. Oh, wait, I'll get in trouble.
I'll take you.
Oh, yeah. Stop, Seth. I'm saving your life.
Seth was fired from One Tough Mother.
I'm saving your life right now. So thank you, Lisa. And Storyblocks, right? Thank you.
Oh, storyblocks.com/OTM. Get thousands of images, videos, and tracks for only $149 for a full year of unlimited access.
We love you, Storyblocks. /.com.
OTM.
So, okay. And Gail Epu, you ready? You got mail?
I got mail.
She's got mail.
You got mail.
I do. All right. First one we got today is from Meant to Be a Star, all caps. All right, star. Dear OTM, I'm 19 years old. I dropped out of college and I'm working at an advertising agency here in the city. My aunt and her friend got me this job, and it sucks bad.
What else is new?
When I took the job, I thought it would be exciting. Wrong. It's so boring. I must be honest, I'm good at what they ask me to do, and I get it done on time, but I hate sitting at a desk 8 hours a day. You see, I'm super outgoing, smart, and a quick learner who really wants to work in entertainment or music.
Everybody does.
We all do.
I would like to go back to college now and study music, but my parents are so proud of me for having this job that I'm afraid they would freak if I gave up this opportunity. They are consistently talking about how lucky I am to be in this position. They say so many of their friends' children have graduated college and can't find jobs anywhere. I don't want to upset my aunt or tick my parents off by quitting, but I can't be stuck here forever. How can I handle this without family drama? Meant to be a star.
Wait a minute. You're 19 years old. Wait, why'd you drop out of college to begin with? So maybe you went to college because obviously you did and didn't like what was going on. Now you got this great job, or you got a quote unquote great job. All right. So you want to go back to college. Pay for it and go.
Go back to school.
Yeah, go back to school. Go to your parents and say, you know what? It's not going to be on your back. I'm going to take out student loans. And go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right?
And you know, a lot, and just say to them, you know what, this is my gap year. A lot of kids take a gap year.
Yeah.
You took a gap year, you went to try advertising. Now go back to school and forge your path in the direction you really want to go.
Right. I do have something to add, though, coming from this industry, as we all have. Advertising can open up a lot of doors. So it doesn't say how long she's actually been there. So maybe her hiatus year from school could be working there for a year. Because tomorrow is another day.
Exactly.
As Scarlett said.
Well, no, that's true.
You know, you never know what happens. You never know.
I think we have a false reality of what they think the job is going to be.
Yes.
It's not all glitz and glamour. It's actually work.
Yeah.
It's so work.
You have to put your best foot forward.
And
I think Lisa
me.
Said, you know, kick ass there and it'll open other doors.
Mm-hmm. And it's called work because it's not play.
Right. How long have you been there? Like 2 weeks? Come on.
We've all been in advertising. We've all been in the music industry. It's work.
It's work.
And it's not glamorous. It's nice to meet an occasional celebrity, but it's work.
Yeah. And guess what? There's a lot of jobs in the industry. You are going to be sitting at a desk.
And you don't get paid a lot.
Yeah.
This is why you go to college so you have those 4 years
absolutely.
Of fun before you have to deal with this.
Yes, thank you.
Welcome to the real world.
All right, go get it before Seth goes crazy.
Very yakety yak today.
But he's right.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Second one is from Disgusted. Dear mother, my brother Dave is married to Joyce, an opinionated big mouth who never has a kind word to say about anybody. She frequently berates Dave in front of other members of our family. Her mouth is disgusting and she upsets the entire family, especially Mom. My older brother, Stephen, was sentenced to prison on drug charges. Our family has suffered a great deal of pain because of this, but we have found the strength in our family ties and try to remain supportive of him. Joyce, on the other hand, never misses an opportunity to put Stephen down. She completely doesn't care whose feelings her comments hurt. Although she's Dave's wife, I don't consider her a sister-in-law because she certainly doesn't act like a member of our family. I'd like to write her off and never have any contact with her again, but I worry that it would upset Mom and Dave, and neither of them need another problem. How do I deal with Joyce without starting an enormous family feud? Disgusted.
Oh boy, Joyce sounds like a problem. And you know what? If you're gonna bring it up, somebody's gonna get hurt. But if it's that bad, you have two choices, right?
Mm-hmm.
Keep your mouth shut and roll with it, or say something.
Right.
So you have to weigh out what's gonna be the most efficient or most, I don't know.
Honestly, I agree with you. I think what she should do is sit down with her parents, quietly, just explain nicely, defending the brother, defending everything and saying, look, this isn't healthy for anybody. It's not. And see what they say.
Right.
You know, and kind of feel out the waters that way, because the parents are the ones that are.
And
really
Joyce is
too.
Obviously just doesn't care. Like what
she
says.
She doesn't care. But I think.
And I want to know why Dave isn't telling her to be quiet.
Well, I think that. Yeah. I mean, my opinion is that Dave is the one who's in the relationship with Joyce. He's married to Joyce. She should talk to Dave and say, mm-hmm. your wife, this is what how I'm experiencing it. And maybe he can have a conversation with Joyce and say, when you're around my family, don't berate my brother. Don't blah, blah, you know.
Don't upset my mom.
It doesn't seem like a right. tall order to ask. It
so I would talk to, I would. If you're going to be silent, then you're going to have to suck it up, which I don't believe that that's healthy. But you should talk to him and say, talk to your brother who's married to this woman and say, this is a problem. Mm-hmm. And see where we go from there.
That takes way too long. Just next time she opens her mouth, just slap her in the face.
You know, I knew that was coming from Seth.
God, really?
Seth was sitting there with a total disgust look on his face.
Talk about my brother? Don't talk about my brother. Pass the potatoes.
We now have domestic violence charges against Seth.
Well, here we go.
Me? No, I don't hit people.
But,
I don't
you know,
have to.
I've had a situation, though, to be quite honest, where somebody who was in a relationship with a friend of mine actually was doing this in public and berating him in public, and she continued to do it, and I basically did step in and say something to her.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That, you know, but
good
this
for
was,
you.
I did. I basically said to her, if you're not happy being here, there's the door. You
exactly.
can take your ass and step right the hell out of mm-hmm. here.
Yeah.
Have an affair.
And he did.
What is wrong with you today?
I don't know.
But you know but what? It's true. Why doesn't she just take it? It's her daughter. It's her sister. Her sister-in-law. Mm-hmm. Why doesn't she take her aside and say, you know what? You're really hurting my family. My brother's upset by it. My mother's upset by it. Especially my mother. And it's already. Please stop.
Right.
Well, she could do that, but then the wife goes to Dave, your sister. Blah,
well,
blah.
We'll see.
No,
yeah.
Really a good so, right. I mean, it's one family's family, and then friendships are friendships, right? And you can defend your friend a little bit easier than you can like jump into somebody's marriage that's your family.
Right.
So, again, I would talk to Dave and say, I'm just giving you a heads up, Dave. This is what's happening, and I cannot promise you the next time that she mouths off about whoever it is, that I'm not going to step in. I just need you to know this
right,
is
or knock
problem.
Her one in the teeth if you're Seth.
No, not just a slap. It's just
all
get
right.
Attention.
Although Seth, you know, disclaimer, he is not advocating domestic violence.
Not at all. And Seth is not a part of our show in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah. No. We don't even know who he is.
I'm one untough nobody.
Go ahead, Gailey Phil.
Okay. Last one here. Sad and sick. Okay. Dear One Tough Mother, I'm a 44-year-old married woman with two beautiful sons, 4 and 7. My husband is a good man in many ways, but spends a lot of his free time in online chat rooms. I've caught him talking online in the middle of the night and called him about it. Ooh, I say it's disrespectful to me and our family when he speaks to other women in a suggestive way. He says it's all in fun. To make a long story short, I figured out his password and found out that he's been having a pretty steamy online affair with some young single mother in another state. I feel betrayed and disgusted. I feel like I'm being cheated on, as you are. But he'll say, if it isn't physical, it isn't cheating. I don't know what to do. I love my husband, and we are a family, and I don't want to lose that. Should I tell him what I know, or wait it out and hope he gets over his fascination?
I'm going right
fake
to you,
affair.
Seth.
Seth.
Go ahead, Seth.
Do it.
I have a different opinion on this one.
I knew you would.
I know.
I think there's a deeper issue here. There's a beyond that. I mean, first you can lay down like, hey, this doesn't work for me. You can't. This is wrong.
Right.
And it hurts me and it's not right and you should stop it. But there's a reason he's doing it too. And I'm not saying that she did anything wrong. I think they need to have discussions, conversations, therapy or something, because there's an underlying theme to there's an underlying thing to reason why he's doing it.
I agree.
You know. But she definitely should put a stop to it. She should let him know, like, this isn't working for me, that you can't do this.
And Seth and I, and I think Lisa and Gail, we all agree on the fact that we talk about this a lot of time. When you're cheating on someone, if you're the cheater or the cheatee, if you're the person doing the cheating, or if you're the person on the other end that doesn't, she obviously is a young single mom. Maybe she doesn't know his life situation. We don't know what he told her. You're breaking up a family. They've got two little kids, 4 and 7. Stop, you know, he needs to be called out about it. She needs to say to him, you're breaking up our family. I can't live with this. We need to figure this out. And I agree 1,000%. There might be an underlying issue. Maybe they need to go to counseling.
I agree. They could be, you know, but then there are also some people, male and female, that just need to feel like they're living on the edge and they need excitement. And But not necessarily a marriage.
It's, then work on that. You're together.
But you can. But sometimes there are people that just can't. You know?
They shouldn't be married.
They shouldn't be married. I'm not saying they should be.
It's not healthy.
No.
It's not healthy. And, you know,
I would have kicked him out of
it. It's not healthy for him either, though. It's not.
No, because, mm-hmm. And it's also not healthy for the other woman on the receiving end who's thinking that all these online fake relationships.
Well, she might be making money off
it,
too.
They're fake. They're not real relationships. And a lot of people think, oh, well, it's because they're not physically in the same space. It's not damaging. It is damaging. You're betraying
the relationship. Oh, it's absolutely damaging.
That you are in.
Totally.
You're living 100%. In a fantasy world because you're not seeing her, this other woman, on a day-to-day basis who's got you know, a runny nose or saggy boobs or whatever, you know, who's running around. Like, you're thinking the grass is always greener on the other side. It's an illusion. Online
is an
illusion.
I just had this conversation with Karen this morning on Facebook. Somebody friended me, and he was a very good-looking guy and had about four or five of my friends that are friends as mutual friends.
Mm-mm.
Wasn't the guy.
No.
So if they're, I mean, you just don't know.
Gail said is exactly right. It's an illusion.
It's an illusion.
It's a great word for it.
Mm-hmm. Illusion.
Yeah. So, you know, you don't want to deal with real life. Well, honey, you're in a real relationship with a real woman, with a real family, mm-hmm. and all this other stuff is an illusion and it's a diversion. You need to address that with him. I think Seth is right. Go to therapy. And if he can't do that, then you got to reassess. Right?
Yep. Mentally damaging for everyone. Everyone involved.
For your children.
So today's show is brought to you by Lise.
It's brought to you by storyblocks.com/OGM, your one stop for stock. But I also got to tell you, when you want to find us, go to One Tough Mother, MUTHER.com, Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, #OTM, #OneToughMother, #ToughMothers.
Right. And today, Mother Says is brought to you by
Storyblocks.com/OTM for $149 for 1 year of unlimited access of all kinds of content.
It's great stuff, people.
Yes. All kinds of content.
Great. So, Mother Says is you can't change what you refuse to confront. You can't change what you refuse to confront. So if she's going to think he's going to fall out of it with our last letter, if the woman is not going to talk to her sister-in-law about the way she's treating her family, anything in your life, you can't change what you can't confront.
That's right.
So you need to confront it. And even with our interview with Leslie Jane Seymour, you are living as a result of your decisions. The decisions you made have translated where you are and what you're doing in your life. So keep that in mind. Thank you for listening. We love you to death. We can't wait to see you again. And next week, we have a killer show. So come back.
I'm back.
Well, we have...
Can you tell?
Yeah, here it is. Ready for this one? We have last minute Christmas gift ideas. So we have a bunch of fabulous Tough Mothers coming on with deals. Deals, deals!
Can you say deals?
Deals!
Let's make a deal.
Let's make a deal.
Let's make a deal.
So we'll see you next week, everyone.
Monty.
Thank you.
Happy holidays.
Bye-bye.
Holiday season. Bye-bye.